This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Live from downtown San Francisco, this is 95.7 The Game.
And hi again, everybody, and welcome to Warriors This Week alongside Sterling Bennett. This is Dan Devone as the Golden State Warriors barely hanging on and trying to just crawl and scratch their way into a play-in game. Forget about what is quote-unquote defined as the playoffs. As we get into things, the Warriors coming up losers last night to the Indiana Pacers as they lose by 11, Golden State on this homestand. A brief three games out at Chase, and they lose two of the three. The only win was against Memphis, one of the worst teams in the NBA this year. As the Warriors, six games at Chase this year in March, they have lost four of the six, and the storyline well detailed of how they've struggled at home this year. Much, much better on the road. And they're going to have to be, Sterling, because that's where they are for six of the next seven games, including a grueling five-game road trip. And as we look at the standings, Sterling, my man, look it. I know you want to walk down the Lakers and Sacramento, but you better, instead of looking forward, look over your shoulder, because here come the Houston Rockets, who have won seven straight, now just two back of the Warriors.
Right, so my question would be for Warrior fans coming into today. And Dan, I hope you're having a wonderful Saturday morning.
How the hell with that? Let's just rag on the Warriors.
When I watched last night, it was the exact same thing we've seen the entire season. A team that's in a game for a half, in a game for three quarters, and all of a sudden, boom, 22-9 run by a young, fast-paced Pacers team. Irony included there. But a team that they just can't hang with the young teams. They can't hang with the good teams, and they can only beat the bad teams. You're 18-19 at home. You're under 500, and you're right now sitting 1.5 games ahead of the Houston Rockets. So, Warrior fans, I'm trying to find something to buy into. I'm trying to find something to believe in. Why should we still believe in this team? Okay, Stephen Curry, fine. That's great at all. We all love Steph. Why should we buy into this team? They have proven nothing this year. They've given us no reason to buy into who they are today. So why should we buy in this morning?
Here's why you buy in. And I know I'm reaching, but I'm just trying to throw a lifeline to Dub Nation. By the way, we're going to open up the phone lines early at 888-957-9570. Here's what you got to hang on to is that, well, it was more than 2 weeks ago now. You beat Milwaukee. Well, it was about almost a month ago. I want to say more than 3 weeks ago. You beat Milwaukee by 30-plus points at home. Now, I know that it's few and far between that you beat a good team, because you're right, but that's really the only thing you can look at, and as much as that's fading in the rearview mirror, you can point a finger at and say, listen, we beat Milwaukee. We have the capability of not only beating some of the best teams in the NBA, but running them off of our gym. So we know we can do it. The issue with the Golden State Warriors, and this is true for any aging team, is that can you do this with a consistent measure over a long, extended period of time? And the answer to that, I think, unequivocally, is no. Is that the Golden State Warriors at times can pick their spots, but can Golden State in a seven-game series against a good team hold their own and shock the world at this point? It's becoming more and more doubtful, and I think a lot of it gets back to what it is that you just stated in your opening comments, and that is, while you could do it sometimes, you can't do it all the time. And the reason being is that because you're old.
Yeah.
And I think it doesn't get any further than that, Sterling.
Okay, so the whole season can be quantified in they're just old. Which, okay. Then how do I watch Jonathan Kuminga drop 20 over the past, I don't know, 8 to 10 games, whatever it has been. Didn't play great last night. We watched Trayce Jackson-Davis play well. I think TJD is the big man they've been looking for a long time. He really has a tremendous paint presence. Pajemski, who Kerr said, I don't care if he doesn't score. What he does for us in other areas is why he's going to start for us. Okay? Now, fans can scoff at that, this, that, and the other, whatever. That's fine. But when I watch this Warrior team, it's not just that they're old. Yes, they're old. They have a, what, 38-year-old Chris Paul as their backup point guard. They're old, right? It's not just that they're old, though. It's that they're just not good enough. And that's not because they're old. It's because they're inconsistent. They have horrible transition defense. The whole year, we've watched them score a bucket and then not get back and watch the opposing team answer instantly. We've watched this team go through the ebb and flow of the game, which happened to everybody. You're hot, then you're cold. It happens. But they can't stop the opposing team's hot stretch. 22-9 last night, you gave Indiana the game where, in that first half, the Warriors looked great. They were hitting shots. Steph had 15. Clay had 15.
Up 12.
Pods had 11. Like, they looked really good. As soon as halftime hit, and Tyrese Halliburton takes the game over, which he's an amazing player, they couldn't stop anything. Miles Turner was locking down Kuminga in the paint. Like, it was at the momentum that the Warriors thought they had in the first half was gone as soon as that second half began. And I think that's who they are. They can play a great half of basketball. When's the last time they put together four good, if not great, quarters against a good team? Memphis is not a good team. They're really bad. They're missing like 11 players. Against a good team, the last time they put together four consistent quarters, I can't even think of one.
Might be Milwaukee, but to your point, yes, they are not very good right now. But I will maintain what I have said all year long is that in large part it's because they're too old. And while, yes, you're correct to point out that they have youngsters that they've now infused into the lineup and the rotation, it's feast or famine. You're either too old or you're too young. Because Jonathan Kuminga, Pajemski, Trayce Jackson-Davis, I'll even throw Moses Moody in there. To be realistic, they're really two or three years away. And I know that, you know, Moody and Kuminga should be further along. But in terms of having some level of consistency where they actually know what's going on in this game has slowed down for them, that usually happens in your mid-20s. These guys were teenagers when they came into the league. So it's either you're too old where you can do it in spurts, but you can't do it, as you mentioned, over four quarters. And you certainly can't do it over an extended period of time, or you're too young. And the guys that hit that sweet spot that are sort of in their mid-20s or late-20s are Andrew Wiggins,
right,
who we'll get into, because you can't do one of these shows unless you talk about Andrew Wiggins and his disappearing act. But Andrew Wiggins, who's at 29, and then the other is Kevon Looney, who's in his late-20s, who's now played his way out of the rotation. So the Warriors, again, you're either on the wrong side of 30 or you're too close to 20. And that's the problem with this Golden State Warrior team, is that if you want to call it matching windows, whatever the phraseology might be, is that Golden State right now, when you watch an Indiana team or anybody they play, they're going to be younger and they're going to be more skilled and they're going to be more energetic. And most likely, they're going to be much taller than that of the Golden State Warriors.
And that's why the Pacers won last night. They're more energetic. They actually have paint presence to stop a player like Jonathan Kuminga, whereas the Grizzlies don't. Hence why Kuminga can take over that game for a certain period of it. But you say all that, and I'm saying it's not just because they're old, because they're just bad. They're just not a great team. What's to say they don't lead this road trip, a loss against Minnesota, a loss against Miami, who has had their ups and downs this season. They're an older team. Against the Magic. Like, they may not win three games until they get to the Hornets. And even then, because the Warriors have been so inconsistent, who's to say they even win that game? Like, they can lead this road trip being 0-4. And I go, yeah, that's who they are. Or they could beat the T-Wolves, and I go, wow, great win. Then they'll lose the next three. Like, because I don't know if I can put my finger on the Golden State Warriors, and that might be what makes them so dangerous come playoff time. But now we're sitting here, March 23rd, saying, are they even going to make it to the play-in? Like, you are the 10th seed 1.5 games ahead of Houston, who is not good. Talk about being too young. They're too young.
Well, they've been good of late.
They're 9-1 in the last 10 games. How, like, what a collapse if you fall below the Rockets when you have Curry and Draymond and Clay. Like, you, like, for this, a sense of pride, you can't fall behind the Rockets. And there's a real chance they do. Like, if you're a Warrior fan, we can talk about, has this season been successful? No! No! There's no chance anyone views 10th seed as successful. No way.
The only good thing that can come out of it, if you don't even get to the play-in game and you get passed over by that of the Houston Rockets, is that now you got to blow it up. Like, I don't want to hear, I don't want to take any calls and saying, well, should we run it back? And, you know, I like Clay, and Clay can do some good things, and Andrew Wiggins can be good, and I still, you know, 2 years ago, no. Got to go. Got to go. If you get passed over by that of the Houston Rockets and you don't make the play-in game, I would even go as far as, because let's face it, the play-in games are relatively new. I want to say more than 5 years ago. So throughout my entire lifetime, as well as the majority of yours, and you're only 14 years of age, is that there are only 8 teams that went to the playoffs every year, only up until a couple of years ago.
Yep.
The Golden State Warriors would not be going to the playoffs, nor would the Los Angeles Lakers. So I know that we're big and we love to throw in play and that's why they, you know,
that's why they made it.
It was ingenious on the part of Silver and Company and the powers that be of the NBA, because this is the sort of enthusiasm that they wanted to create, right? They wanted also the fan interest and people still going to games because more teams have an opportunity at the postseason. But realistically, the Golden State Warriors are thinking about their offseason plans if this was, you know, 5 years ago. So if you don't make the play-in, it's time where reality really hits everybody in the face. Because I think at that point, it's like, okay, time to make changes. We don't have to deliberate. We don't have to sit here and hopefully take calls on matching timelines and what is it that we're going to do going forward. No. You know what, Joe Lacob, even though I think you were a little bit over-emotional when you spouted off that the only guy that's not tradable, and I'm paraphrasing here, is Steph Curry, I think you're spot on. Other than, you know, the kids I'm hanging on to, Trayce Jackson-Davis, Pajemski, and Kuminga aren't going anywhere. However, if somebody comes in with, you know, because you don't have a lot of tradable assets, if somebody comes in with an offer I can't refuse and I need to throw Kuminga into that, you know, I'd consider it. But everybody's out the door if you get passed over at this point. But we're getting ahead of ourselves because there is still enough time.
There's still time.
There's enough meat on that bone. And I'm going to, before I just rail on the Golden State Warriors for the next 3 hours, I do want to hang on to what it is they did against Milwaukee, and that there is still the experience and there is still at times the youth that can bail this team out that makes them intriguing. But you're right. Last night, when you talk about, I don't think anybody played well last night.
No.
Steph had a double-double, 25 out of, I think, 11 rebounds. You know, for Steph, it's for anybody else, it's a good game. For Steph, you could see it was an off night.
It's common.
But Kuminga was terrible. Kuminga reverted back to Kuminga of a year ago and the Kuminga of early on in the season. Everybody was bad for the Golden State Warriors. And that's just, you know, Kuminga's still not there. As much as people want to say, okay, well, we found the number two. People were anointing him as the number two scorer on the Golden State Warriors, something that they were in dire need of. And he was raising his hand and people were saying, that's the guy. Well, he's proven that he's not there yet. And it's a lot more challenging to deliver 20 to 25 points a game just about every night than I think a lot of people give either credit to whoever it is that could step into that number two spot.
Well, I even said when Curry got hurt, which is the last time we talked together about the Warriors, that Curry's out, Kuminga has to step up. And they lost to the Spurs that night, and it was like, you're losing to the Spurs with that Wembanyama. I do think, while yes, we can talk about, you know, the offseason if they fall to 11, I could argue right now, you might want to blow this thing up now. And again, there's so much time to still play. What are there, 13 games left? You have about a month, 3 weeks of the season to go to prove that you're worth the 10th seed. Maybe you can get the 9th seed still. But now you're 1.5 games behind the Lakers. Like, the time, like, Gary Payton said, oh, we still have time. No, you don't. Your time is running out. And I can argue that if you lose 3 more games on this road trip, your time might be done.
It's the 9th seed or bust. You're not catching Sacramento. No. You're not making up 4 games
like
in 13.
There was a poll last night on NBC Sports with Bonte and those guys, and there were 20% of the fan base that voted that I believe the sixth seed was still in contention.
They're drunk.
I don't know what drugs they were on. You watch this team, and I get you want to hold on to, it's a dynasty. It's a dynasty. I get that. It's hard to let go of that. It's hard to watch the same players you've fallen in love with and say they may not have it anymore. That's tough. But that's the reality, that Curry can give you 20 a night. Great. Can anybody else give you 20 a night? I don't think so. Can these guys go a game without 15 turnovers? They had 3 in the first half last night. They had 14 overall because they gave the Pacers the ball 11 times in the second half. Horrible three shooting, taking random shots that make no sense. Kuminga can't get a basket to buy his life. Like, the Warriors right now are, like, Stephen Curry, for as great as he is, for as clutch as he's been, if you, and I know, Dan, you said 2 weeks ago, this team can go to the Western Conference Finals. No way. like, there's no way. Like, sure, they can beat the Lakers, fine. They can maybe beat a Dallas Mavericks team, great. As soon as you get to the big dogs in the West, I mean, they're going to put you in a chokehold and say, just tap out already. Like, this team just doesn't have it in them, and I don't want to be doom and gloom on a wonderful Saturday in the Bay, but that's the Golden State Warriors last night. Me and Mark Grandy and Chris O'Connell sat here saying, what is wrong with this team? They stink. Like, this team at times simply stinks.
I love the way you just went after me there. It was very delicately and well done on the part of my man Sterling Bennett. It's like, Dan, do you remember a couple of weeks back when you said they can go to the Western Conference Finals? Yes, I do. Well, you were wrong. Well, thank you very much. Well, I'll tell you this, because I don't like to back off and go from week to week and day to day and go as the wind changes, as they like to say. I still think that this team can make a run towards the end of the season and in the postseason. Now, call me delusional. I get it that it doesn't look good right now. But and this, again, gets back to when you talk about an elderly basketball team. This is what happens, is that there are times when you cannot just, you don't have the sustainability to do it over an extended period of time, simply because you don't have the legs. And last night, you know, a guy that we haven't called his number for not showing up very frequently this year because he's been huge when he's not been suspended or acting like a lunatic, and that is Draymond Green, who's been, I don't think anybody can argue, since his return, there's been a cause and effect with the Golden State Warriors playing well. But last night, he checked out. I don't know what. Was Michigan State playing in the tournament?
I think he got hurt. He hurt his hand, I think.
Was that it? Okay, because that only makes sense. He did not look like he was mentally in tune with that basketball game, and he looked like he would rather be in 150 different places than on the floor at Chase. And he would do that from time to time, and that's what happens again. When you get into your mid-30s, there's some times where your mind knows what to do, but your body's just like, no, brother, we're in our mid-30s. We need to take the night off. But just getting back to what it is that I said about them getting to the Western Conference Finals, I know. It sounds as though I've been drinking my breakfast, but I still believe that this is a dangerous team. Now, do I think that they can beat Denver? No. Because I think that since the All-Star break, and I maintain this, that the West was wide open. The Western Conference was Minnesota, didn't scare you, Oklahoma, really, the Clippers keep you up at night. The Warriors are going to be underdogs to all of those teams. But the one team that right now is playing like a champion like that of a year ago is Denver. Like, Denver and Boston now have separated themselves from everybody else and are on a collision course for the NBA Finals. Now, when I say that they can get to the NBA Finals, I do not think that they can beat Denver in a 7-game series. Because Denver now, while the West was wide open, I now clarify those remarks by telling you that it's now Denver. But I do think, should, and it just depends on if they see Denver in the first round, again, it's over with, so they're not going to the Western Conference Finals. But I do think some of the other teams should not scare you. And I know that sounds ridiculous, and we can get into it. It's a team that's still vertically challenged, a team that turns the ball over and still too old and or too young. Let's open up the phone lines at 888-957-9570. We kick things off. Well, this guy always comes strong. Austin, what do you got?
Hey, what's up, fellas? Happy Saturday. Dan, Sterling, just so you know, last week, Dan was day drinking, man. He was talking about the Warriors. I mean, just it's okay, man. It happens to all of us. But Western Conference Finals, and can we just lose this? Nobody wants to play the Warriors, and they're dangerous. I mean, come on, man. That's 2 or 3 years ago. This team last night, I think we finally, to me last night, guys, I hate to say it as a Warriors fan, but I think we hit the turn the page time. I think you could see it on the players' faces. They knew how important that getaway game was. And the Warriors played as best as they could in the first half. I knew that when they played that good in the first half and they only were, what, leading by one, I said, oh, my God. I knew that Indiana was going to come back and pretty much race them. I mean, that game was over in the third quarter, if you really think about it. Indiana let the Warriors kind of stick around 9 to 10 points. But the Warriors had no chance of winning that game. So let's talk about next year, guys. I'm with Sterling more than with Dan. I think we should think about next year. And I'm not keeping – I know that, Dan, you said you're not moving the youngsters. You're not moving JK. You're not – I would say everybody is on the table. Outside of Steph Curry, I don't see enough infrastructure where I'm saying that I'm keeping all those guys. I don't think they're good enough, as Sterling said, as a team. I think they've got some structural problems. If you listen to Tom Tolbert last night after the game, by the way, listen to Tom. Don't listen to the other guys. Tom told you the truth. Tom said, hey, they didn't get back on defense, as you guys said. There was some inexcusable lapses last night. So next year, guys, I think we're talking about a rebuild. I don't think it matters whether they get to the play-in or not. I think decisions have already been made by Joe Lake. If not, they should be. That's kind of where I'm at, guys. Thanks.
Austin, I can't go back at Austin. Austin is strong, man, and I love that he kicks off the show every Saturday. And listen, I'm not trying to get anybody on board of my delusional drinking my breakfast. The Warriors could make a deep run in the Western Conference playoffs this year. I get a sense, and he's spot on about everything that he just laid out. I mean, think about it, Sterling. Mm-hmm. This is a game that they had to have, much like that of the Knicks game.
Yeah. And you had to beat the Spurs twice. You only beat them once.
And they the Knicks are without just about everybody.
Yep.
Julius Randle's out. Mitchell mm-hmm. Robinson's out. OG Anunoby's been huge. He's out. Ochoa's out. They were, and the Warriors are at full strength.
Yeah.
Warriors found their
Steph's
starting
back,
lineup.
Ready to go.
GP2's healthy, for crying out loud.
Literally no one's hurt. Nobody.
And not only that, but they got the rotation set. Pajemski's your starter. Moody's even getting time. There are no more excuses. And you got run by the Knicks from wire to wire. And the same thing last night, a game you need to have. And it looked as though they mailed it in.
They didn't mail it in the first half. They had energy. They had 30 points to combine from the Splash Brothers in the first half. Pajemski, who hasn't had the best scoring record the past few games, had 11 points. They were getting contributions from almost everybody in that first half. Like, they looked really good. Second half hits, Pacers, who have not been a great defensive team, they turned out the energy, the ante, and their defense locked down the Warriors last night. I was watching the game with Mark and Chris back here, and the Warriors, their players, didn't matter if it was Kuminga, Steph, Clay, they could not get by any Pacer defender. They were in front of them the entire way, and give credit to Indiana. But the Warriors, maybe that's an old age thing. I don't know. I have no idea. But what the Warriors couldn't do last night was execute offensively. And you can tell when the Warriors can't score, they also don't like playing defense. So when they can't score, they don't want to get back. Their head dips, they get sad, the young guys go, they start to stumble a little bit, they hesitate, then boom, it's 22-9 run for Indiana. And if Steph's not hitting in the third quarter, and Clay's not hitting, who's going to? You got to have one of the young guys come along and say, hey, like, I know the older guys are struggling, someone has to bridge that gap, and maybe that's Wiggins, but you still have people. Even after last night, Dublin Marge, who we love, is saying, y'all are overreacting. Opponents are game planning for the Warriors to get tired in the second half. If you're game planning for a team to get tired in the second half, maybe that team can't play four consistent quarters. Maybe that team doesn't have it to finish four quarters of basketball. You can be great in the first half. You can be great in the third quarter, in the first quarter. If you're not great in second and fourth quarters, you're not going to win. You have to close games. And over everything else, over old age, bad defense, lack of shooting, if you're bad in the fourth quarter, you're likely not going to win. The Sixers last night walked into the fourth quarter with a 2-point lead over the Lakers. What happened? Lakers closed the game, hence now a 1.5-point game lead over the Warriors. If you can't close, you're not going to win. The Warriors can't close.
All right, let's take a quick call. They're stacking up. 888-957-9570. That's 888-957-9570. Just give me Father time as we get to the break. Father, what's on your mind?
Hey, guys. Happy Saturday, of course. Delusional Dan Devone.
Thank you.
Delusional Warriors Warriors fans, you know what? You guys ever hear about that thing where two things sound like they're in opposition, but they're both true? We love the Warriors. You guys are the flagship station of the Warriors. I know it's hard to get real, but let's get real. This is the realest of real. They're old. They're done. They're cooked. Steph Curry will never win another championship with this team. You think the most valuable trade chip is Jonathan Kuminga? I think it's Steph Curry. Back to the reality. You know what they should have done 2 years ago? This is what I've always said this. Bill Walsh did. You got to cut bait early. You can't wait 2 years later when it's not working because now your trade assets mean nothing. The only team, I looked this up, in the last 30 years of the NBA that has had their three best players, arguably their three best players, win a championship over the age of 34, all three of them, granted they had Kawhi Leonard, is the San Antonio Spurs. We don't have Kawhi Leonard, and we certainly don't have the running mates for Steph Curry. So, Warriors fans, wake up. Stop talking about the playoffs. Focus on next year. Focus on putting pressure, if you can, on the organization. They want to win. Nobody wants to win more than the owner and Steph Curry. They've got to change, and sometimes it's hard to look in the mirror. That is the Warriors. Change now or pay later.
Father Time, say hello. Wow, I like the Niner reference. Yes, Bill Walsh was get rid of a player a year early rather than a year too late. And you can, the evidence is right there. When you think about Jerry Rice, Ronnie Lott, Roger, all those guys did not end their career, including Joe Montana at San Francisco 49ers. So you can be loyal to a fault, but I'm not moving Steph Curry.
You're not trading Steph.
You lost me there, Napa, but call back again. Connor and the rest of you, we got to get to a break. And we continue here with Warriors this week. It's Sterling Bennett. It's Dan Devone. We'll go away for a commercial. We'll be back with your calls right after this.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Free throw good by Halliburton. They've put the ball into play. The buzzer sounds. Now the game can end. Chris Paul gets tossed with 6.6 to go. But the Warriors suffer another bitter loss. And with each passing game, it looks like the Warriors are locked into the 9-10 spot. And if LA wins tonight, the Lakers come back and beat Philadelphia. They'll have a game and a half lead. And that means the Warriors would start the play-in bracket on the road.
And that, of course, is exactly what happened. The Lakers were able to come back against the Philadelphia 76ers and now lead the Golden State Warriors by a game and a half for that number 9 seed. The Warriors currently sitting at number 10 if the season were to end today. Hi again, everybody. Welcome back to Warriors This Week alongside Sterling Bennett. It's Dan Devone. Sterling, really quick, let's just take a look at this arduous road schedule that is in front of the Warriors, which is why it was so important just to get that, you know, the old getaway game. You needed to beat Indiana before embarking on this road trip, which sees them go to Minnesota tomorrow to take on the Timberwolves, which have established themselves as one of the premier teams, not only in the Western Conference, but in all of the NBA. And as you and I have gushed over from time to time, Ant-Man Anthony Edwards is just out of this. Just ridiculous.
His block.
Oh, my. That block, I'm telling
you. And his dunk. And his dunk.
We haven't talked since the dunk,
we
right?
We haven't, no.
I'm telling everybody, just go watch that block, which I like blocks more than everybody can dunk a basketball, although his dunk was ridiculous. And all of them coming at important times of the contest.
He gave John Collins a concussion. It was just that crazy.
So they got the T-Wolves coming up on Sunday. Then you got to go from Minnesota all the way to Florida in a back-to-back affair with the Miami Heat and the Orlando Magic, two teams that are playing much better of late. And then you've got the Charlotte Hornets, and then you wrap things up against the San Antonio Spurs before coming home for just one game against the Dallas Mavericks before packing your bags and going on the road once again. No room for error as the Warriors right now sitting just two games in front of the Houston Rockets for missing the play-in tournament entirely.
And the Rockets play the Jazz today, which they can easily win that game because the Jazz also aren't very good.
So you're looking at potentially a game and a half advantage for the Golden State Warriors. So as much as our focus has been, and I think there has been sort of this understanding, well, you know, the ceiling is the sixth seed And the bottom is the 10, because they're pretty much assured of being a 10. That's been sort of the thought process for the last month and a half. Well, guess again.
Steiny said they were not going to fall to 11. And they may not. But what's more likely now? They're the 8 seed or they're 11? My money would be on 11. And I hate saying that. And would I bet on that happening? No. I think they're good enough to survive to get into the 10 seed. But who's to say if they get into the 10, they don't lose in the first game and the season's over anyways?
Well, they can beat the Lakers. So we'll see.
Sure.
And that game will have to be in L.A.
But I've also seen LeBron crush their hopes over and over and over again, like last season.
888-957-9570. Let's get out to Connor hanging out in Dublin. Connor, what do you got for us this morning?
Hey, how are you guys this morning?
Doing good.
Awesome. So I really liked Austin's call. And the reason for that is that he's one of those rare Warrior fans like me, where I know he's 99% like accepted everything, and he's realized that this Warriors team is has reached a point in which it needs major rebuilding, and that we probably shouldn't be seeing the players we're seeing now on the team next season. And I totally agree with that. The one thing, that 1% that he's missing, and I believe that's Stephen Curry. Now, I'm not saying we get rid of him now, but I'm saying maybe in a season and a half or a little bit more. Like, I think we got to be looking at him like he's still a great player, but he doesn't deliver as constantly as he used to, and that's, of course, because he's older. And same goes for Draymond, same goes for Clay. And and what I'm trying to say is, you know, this Warriors team, it's going down. I mean, I hate to say it, and it makes me sad every time I mention it to my friends and to other Warriors fans. I'm like, oh man, like this team's not gonna be able to make it super far this year. Hopefully, we can make it to the playoffs. And but if we do end up going against the Nuggets, we're pretty much screwed. But hey, thanks for taking my call. Sorry about all the bad negative stuff.
It's all right, Connor. People, relax. It sounds like you got to walk Connor down from the roof. It's okay, my man. And look, hey, thanks. Good call, Connor. And you're right. That's the overall sentiment. And Austin is strong. The way he kicks things off, and he doesn't pull any punches. He went after me, which is with good reason. But I think that the idea of blowing this up, especially if they get passed over by Houston, and even if they don't, is... It's not even about blowing it up. What the right. hell are you blowing up? It's just being logical and improving your basketball team. Don't think of it as a blow up. I want to just touch on this, and then I want to get your thoughts, Sterling. A couple of people now have talked about Steph Curry. And yes, his numbers, and you know this as well as anybody, have clearly, since the All-Star break, they've dipped. And he has not been the same player as he was early on in the season when he was having another MVP-type year. But that's simply because he's old. It's because he's 36, and you just simply cannot do that over the course of 82 games, all right? Steph can't go anywhere, but what you need is you need to, and again, we're not telling you something we haven't said all year long or something that you don't already know. You need to offset that with another bona fide score. That, to me, as it should have been addressed during this past offseason, is what you have to go get. Not a project, not potentially Kuminga could be that guy, or maybe this guy, or instead you get Chris Paul. No, you need to go out and find, and it's a lot easier said than done, go get him a star. You know why LeBron James is as good as he is and as smart as he is? Because when he was about Steph's age, 36, 37, he began to see the writing on the wall. And what did he do, Sterling? He's like, okay, I'm still one of the best in the NBA. I know that, but I need help.
I'm going to L.A.,
but not only that, I've got to look around. I got to go get the best player in basketball, because now I'm telling everybody I need assistance.
Yeah.
So he goes and gets Anthony Davis, who was the best basketball player that was available at the time.
Yep.
And what happens? He wins a title. LeBron James told everybody, as I get older, late into my 30s, I'm still very, very good, as is Steph, but I know that I need help more than I ever did in my career.
I do think for players like LeBron, like Steph, I think they can acknowledge, and I think Steph has, that you are vulnerable when you're 36 years old, when you're 35. Like, you cannot usually carry a team. Hence why when younger players like Giannis and Anthony Edwards, amongst many others, Kevin Durant, like they make sure they have a star next to them when on their off nights, when they're not having their best game, when they do miss time, which they all eventually do, that they can survive. They can at least make it into the playoffs. And once they get there, it's full systems go. Whereas the Warriors, I won't say foolishly bought into the idea of this, but it does feel like there was a, well, Klay's still here. It's like, no. And we all love Klay. His story is incredible. His recovery is just amazing. And Klay has, thankfully, been a phenomenal bench player for them. Klay next year as a bench player is going to be great. That is a Hall of Fame guard that can give you 20 off the bench. Every team that wants to compete needs that player, and they all don't have that player. The Warriors just don't have the starting five. Draymond is a great facilitator. He's someone that can get in the paint and can rough up Rudy Gobert, which he's done too often and maybe too much at times.
Literally and figuratively.
Yes, but then they also have guys like Wiggins, who the past couple weeks, he's giving it 8 last night, 22 against the Grizzlies, who are a bad team, 7 against the Knicks, a game you had to have, you lost, 16 against LA, 17 against the Mavericks. Those numbers sound fine when it comes to 16, 17, and 22, but you lost against the Knicks when he gave you 7. You lost against the Pacers when he gave you 8. There is no consistency in his game. He checks out all the time, and it's who he's been. And they gave him this massive contract, and they put, oh, Wiggins, when they won a title, was awesome. He was great. You cannot tell me every Warrior fan today wouldn't trade him for a box of rocks and get the contract out of here. Like, they would. They just know he's not compatible with this roster, with these young guys to bridge that gap. He's not that kind of player. And for the rest of the team, like for the young guys, Kuminga and Moody and Pods, who they'll give you effort, they don't have enough when players like Curry and Klay are not playing up to par. Like, you would expect younger players to be able, that when the older guys, the vets, just are having an off night, the energy's low, maybe they're tired, to pick things up and bring it to the same level or the next level, to, hey, let's carry you for a night. They can't do that, at least just yet. And so they do need that in-between player, the 28-year-old guy to come in. I don't know who that player is. I don't know how you're going to get him here. You have to pay Klay still. And Chris Paul could be gone, sure. That's great. Yeah, but like, you have the structure to succeed next year. You don't have the bones to succeed today. And I think for Warrior fans, it's taken them some time to get there. But when you're talking about the 10th seed, like you said, Dan, 5 years ago, you weren't even in the playoffs. And let's be honest here. I look at things from a 5 years ago perspective. If the Warriors are the 10th seed 5 years ago, what's the conversation? They stink. They're a bad team. Blow it up. Rebuild. What's wrong with the Golden State Warriors? But because they're in the play-in tournament, the perspective changes to, well, they have a chance. Yeah, you have a chance. If they're 28-year-old guys, they're 35, 34, 36 off massive injuries like Klay. They don't have the number two guys. So for Warrior fans to buy in, to believe, what are they tied to? Is it history? History does not equal future. And for the Warriors, I think the future, you have to look at history and say, how can we repeat it? But also, how can we alter our future? Because right now, it doesn't look very good.
I would say the Golden State Warriors are the most one-dimensional team in all of the NBA. If Steph is out of the lineup, as was just proven recently, they got nothing. They got absolutely nothing. Klay Thompson tried to step up and fill that void. Jonathan Kuminga is too young, and that's the problem with the Warriors. It's feast or famine. They're either too old, they're on the wrong side of 30, or they're too close to the age of 20. There no one's in that sweet spot other than Andrew Wiggins and Kevon Looney. Looney's played his way out of the rotation, and Andrew Wiggins disappears every other game. I mean, you could think about, people will say, well, what about Jokic? You could take Jokic out of Denver. You're clearly not as good of a basketball team, right? But I'll take Jamal Murray scoring. Give me Michael Porter Jr., who now has ascended as one of the premier, you know, scoring threats in the Western Conference, especially if you've watched his game over the last month. You want to take Jason Tatum away from the Boston Celtics? Not like that of taking Steph away from the Warriors, because you still got Jalen Brown. You still got, you know, Kristaps Porzingis. You got guys who can fill it up. Horford, these are good basketball players. The Warriors have got Steph, and that's about it in terms of scoring the basketball. And that's been the song and dance and the scenario for going on a couple of years now. 888-957-9570. Back to the phone lines off to Pacifica, and let's say hello to Junior. Junior, good morning. Welcome to Warriors This Week.
It is a good morning in every way except Warriors basketball. Wait a minute. It's a tough one. So I have a suggestion that you guys send up a bat signal by tweaking the name to Warriors This W-E-A-K when things are this tough, you know? And I love the team and everything. It's just not going very well. So first of all, with Wiggins, I heard Sterling say, why doesn't Wiggins bring some energy when everyone else is down? And you would look to someone his age to do that, but that is not our man.
I would not trade him for a box of milk, but you can't count on him for that much.
And everyone's a front runner, right? Fans, players, everything. So when things aren't going well for some, they don't go well for many people. But I don't see any of our younger guys really stepping up or kind of organizing a positive little cabal that can get something done. You know, when the big guys aren't doing well, they tend to fade too. So can that change? And then what's the big picture? 10 years ago, we had a market gap in three-pointers. People weren't using them enough, it turns out. So you have a three-shooting coach, two three-shooting players, a growling dog of a man, a basketball genius who comes along with them to protect them and make it all work. And here's the Warriors. Can anything like that happen again with this group? Or are we just, James Wiseman not working out and Wiggins not stepping up and we're kind of wandering in the wilderness for a few years after this? Of course the team should try to win, but I'm not optimistic for a championship run this year. And I'm not sure how the future works out. We can't throw money at people. We already spent it. And all we really got is the Bay, which is a good asset, some haters notwithstanding.
Hey, Junior, before you go, how are those waves in Pacifica today?
Ah, kind of crumbly and ugly, kind of like the Warriors right now.
Thank you, Junior. All right, just want to get a wave update from beautiful Pacifica. But look, he touches on some good points there. And one of the things that I just wanted to continue and just sort of build upon is this idea how the Warriors really just changed the way the NBA's played.
Yeah.
10 years ago, nobody shot the three. Nobody addressed the line like they did. They changed basketball. And it's a homogenous sport, and everybody said, we got to get small like the Warriors.
Yep.
And I say this just about every show. But if you're going to be relevant, you've got to be able to change. Small ball is no longer in.
Yep.
And you could say, well,
and they tried with Wiseman.
The Knicks play small ball. I would clap back and say, no, there's a guy named Isaiah Hartenstein who had his way with the Warriors the last time they were in town. But there are Miami. Let me just clarify this. Nobody is playing small ball that's old. The Warriors look ridiculous right now.
Yeah.
They're starting a 6'6" center by the name of Draymond Green. We all love Draymond. You cannot have a front line of Kuminga, Draymond, and Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah.
Small ball Steve Kerr is done. You have got to move with the times. You can still play small, but you can't play small when you're 34, 35, 36 years of age, relatively 36 years of age. Like, that does not get it done. You look silly. You've got to do it another way. So the idea of blowing it up, I always give the Andy Reid example. Andy Reid, the head coach, obviously, of the Kansas City Chiefs, a future Hall of Famer. When he was a Philadelphia successful coach, did it one way with Donovan McNabb. He goes to Kansas City, and he throws out everything he knew about offenses and said, I'm going to tailor this around the kid out of the Big 12, whose name is Patrick Mahomes, and I'm going to throw the ball every other down, and I'm going to center my offense around this guy. The point being is that if you're a good coach, you've got to adapt, and the idea that you're still trying to squeeze this square peg into a round hole now that everybody's using a walker and living down at the Sequoias, which is a retirement home, by the way, right off of Post Street, shout out. But the idea that you're trying to do the same style of basketball, get up and down the floor and shoot threes with a bunch of old men, right now to me just looks silly.
It took the Warriors firing Mark Jackson to initiate that change, to bring in Steve Kerr. And I'm not saying firing Steve Kerr, but it took them to look at their identity and say, hey, this is not working. something, whether it's the coach or the players, isn't working. They had the building blocks. They had Steph. They got Klay. They had Draymond. They had Iguodala. They had the pieces. They had to make a change at head coach. Now, Steve Kerr is going nowhere. Already got extended the next couple years. But the Warriors need to change who they are. And that's tough to do when your guys have played in the exact same system for 10 years and you've won with 4 titles. It's hard to look guys in the eye and say, hey, we have to make a change. But I do think for the betterment of the organization and the success for the future, Klay's already made a change and he's bought in. Why can't Steve Kerr do the same thing? And I get they don't have the pieces to play with a big man, and they've tried Trayce Jackson-Davis, who's in his rookie season. Would it mean going and actually getting a big man to help them, which will help Draymond, help Steph, help those guys be healthier, to not have that bruiser in the paint, to help Kuminga, to actually be able to penetrate against a Miles Turner? Like, they've had their hands on some big men, and I know callers will all say this, gotta go get a big man today, and they've been preaching it for four years now. But it feels like the Golden State Warriors are at this kind of tipping point in their dynasty where you either stay who you are and you eventually just die, or you evolve and become something new and breathe new life into the organization. Now, there are players like Kuminga, and there's Moody, and there's Pods, and there's TJD. Those players can help you evolve. But I do think a lot of it does have to do with Steve Kerr. And when it comes to young guys not stepping up, who's been kind of pushing them back a little bit? Steve Kerr. Not yet. I think now's the time you got to let your young guys go. And he's starting to do so with Kuminga and sometimes Moody. And he's starting Pajemski and whatnot. But you can only take so much not yet when you're called upon to be the bridge, to called upon to give you energy every single night. You're like, is it my turn? I don't know. And Kuminga's finally getting that, but he's only in year 3. He's 21 years old. Once he's 22, once Moody's in his mid-20s, like, there is a way and a viewpoint where you can see out of this and go, wow, there's a great potential next year in 2 years' time. But at that point, Steph's 37, 38. At that point, Klay's 36. Like, you have to act now, but right now you're the 10th seed and you're 1.5 games over the Rockets for the 11th seed. Like, it's not like there's much to work with now when it comes to making that change.
Yeah, I would say that Steve Kerr, although he's been slow to the party, has embraced the youngsters, and it's just the youngsters right now are just too young. And or they're not good enough. Time will tell whether Pajemski is a bona fide star in this league, but I think he's done an admirable job. I'm with you in that it took too long to get Trayce Jackson-Davis. I was calling for his number, you know, months ago, but those guys are getting run. They're all in the rotation now, so I wouldn't necessarily lean and or point a finger at Kerr not embracing the youngsters. I think that might have been applicable maybe a couple of weeks back. It's just I think it gets back to your point that there's just not enough talent. I mean, there were, again, against the Knicks, a game that you clearly needed, even the Pacers. But the Knicks, I underline the Knicks because the Knicks came into this thing, you know, limping in. You had your best player. But you didn't have, obviously, you're without Julius Randle, you're without OG Anunoby, you're without Mitchell Robinson, you had Jalen Brunson, but the Warriors were at full strength. They had their starting lineup and their quote-unquote identity, the rotation set, the youngsters were playing, and you still got run from wire to wire.
Josh Hart had a triple-double.
And played the whole game.
Against them. He was great.
Played the whole game. And that just tells me that you know, that was the first inkling that, well, maybe you just don't have the talent because there are no more excuses with this basketball team. Maybe you're just looking down the bench and like, this is all I got.
Yeah.
And there's nothing you can do. I want to go here because maybe I'll tease this as we get to the break. Because every show, that young man, Evan's hiding from me because he knows I'm right every week when I come up with these declarations. Evan, if you're near a phone, call us. And by the way, he and Granny will follow us right after this show.
Freeman's Appliance.
Yes, doing a remote. But I would tell Evan, and he, 888-957-9570, Evan Gidding, stop hiding under the couch and talk to Uncle Danny. I told him, you know, months ago, Pajemski's got to start. I told him that Trayce Jackson-Davis has got to get run. I was spot on in all of these things. And now, you know what it's time for? Like, you cannot roll. The small ball with an old team just simply looks silly. You cannot every single night go small and get out-rebounded by everybody. Everybody in the NBA is bigger than the Golden State Warriors. Last night, Miles Turner, Siakam were all having their way. Trayce Jackson-Davis has got to start. He's got to replace Wiggins. Wiggins, I don't know what the hell you're doing or when it'll come back or the personal issues in your life, but get back to me when you – we'll get you in the rotation like Clay, and it just bolster that second unit. Maybe you can go off on the second unit of other teams, but I need to get taller from the jump.
So right? Your starting five is Curry – is it Pods?
Curry, Pods, Kuminga. Draymond, Kuminga, and Trayce Jackson-Davis. Okay. So I got youth, and I've got – I'm not as vertically challenged – and I don't get beat up inside right from the set, right from the outset to set the tempo.
So then your bench is Chris Paul.
Chris Paul, Andrew Wiggins, Clay Thompson.
Is Looney as your backup five?
Oh, who the hell knows where Looney is these days?
Yeah, we You're can not work playing Looney. Sarge, so.
But the point is, and then you can work in Moses Moody
right.
as need be. But I can't do this with you anymore, Andrew Wiggins. Like, and I not only that, but that combined with the fact that I am so tired of seeing them just simply get not only out-rebounded, but just watching. It's almost like AAU or going back to CYO or I coach at the Boys and Girls Club and you walk out, you're starting five, and the other starting five are like 4 inches taller than you. You just hit your head going, man, this is going to be a long 2 hours. It's the Warriors every single night. Everybody's taller than Golden State. Statistically, every single team. It's time not only for Trayce Jackson-Davis to get into that rotation, which he did. Now it's time for the young man to start. Your thoughts, 888-957-9570. It's Sterling Bennett, Dan Avone, Warriors This Week. We continue right after this.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.